captain speaking with just a little flight information. Coming up on the left, we're going to be catching a glimpse of the Grand Canyon. On the right, you can be able to see the Hoover Dam in just a few minutes. We're flying at an altitude of 37,000 feet.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I get a nice round of applause for
about to debut medley of songs, songs we recorded quite a few years back. I sincerely hope that they're still your favorites and that you enjoy them.
What's good, people? Welcome to the third episode of the Cold World Podcast. Ah, man, I've been waiting to do this show like all week. I talked to my uncle back in Chicago. And my little cousin got into some trouble, and I don't know, man. It just made me reflect on a lot of things about, like, growing up, and you'll hear a bit of his story, man. 23 years old, I mean, his life ain't over, but he just made a silly mistake. But it's just looking at the history of the men in my family, it's just interesting when you, like, really examine it. And so I was driving to the mountains for this work thing, and I had a long time to think about it, and I was like, you know what, that's what the show gonna be on. But before I jump into that, real quick, this knee, yo. Look, we getting there with the knee. Slowly. The knee is slowly getting better, right? So as I'm working on the knee, you know, it's like, I'm really trying to push myself because I want to get back out there. I want to get back on the court. I say that until, like I said, until they, like, I'm in rehab and they straighten my knee out and it don't feel good. But let me go back, right? Because I was that crazy black dude that was, like, super paranoid about the doctor. So let me give you the backstory. So I got decent insurance. I got that good Cigna. It ain't Kaiser. I miss Kaiser. I had Kaiser for all of my professional career until I switched jobs a year ago. Now I'm on Cigna. So with Cigna, you got to make sure everybody is in network that's working on your leg. So I did this. I was like on it, yo. I was crazy. I was talking to my doctor. I'm like, yo, it's the facility under Cigna. Yeah. You under Cigna. Cool. Yeah. I double checked all that stuff. I'm like, is the anesthesiologist under Cigna? Yeah. Everybody's under Cigna, Charles. Stop worrying. They probably looked at me like, silly little black boy, right? Cool. I go there to the facility the day of. I got my insurance card. I got my ID. You know what I'm saying? I ain't ate nothing because they told you not to eat. Right when I'm in the chair and they like, yo, we about to like stick all this stuff in you and you're going to be asleep soon. I was like, wait, time out. Everybody is covered on the Cigna, right? Because I don't got bread like that. I don't got 25 racks to just be paying for this knee. Like, yes, everything is fine, Mr. Cole, right? So check it out. Last week, I come home. I'm chilling. I'm in a decent mood. I'm not always in a decent mood when I come home from work, but today I was. And you know what? Something must have knew that I was in a decent mood because I opened my mailbox. And what I should have did is I should have just, like, bypassed my mailbox, came upstairs, did some work, worked on my knee, and took my butt to sleep and dealt with it the next day. But that's not what I did. I said, I'm going to check my mail. So I check my mail and I open it. It's a letter from the anesthesiologist. It's not a love letter. They're not checking in on me just to see how I'm doing. They're not telling me I was cute and asking me out to dinner. No, they were like, yo, check it out. We like hollered at Cigna and Cigna not fooling with us. And so because Cigna's not fooling with us, you owe us $2,500. Wait, hold on. Time out. So let me tell you what my tone was, you know, as I talked to these people. This is how it starts out. I say, excuse me. Hey, I think there's been some kind of mix up because I double and triple checked to make sure everybody was a part of Cygnus Network. You all told me that you were a part of Cygnus Network. That went from, bruh, check this out. B, you told me that you was on Cygnus Network. Where you think I'm just gonna, you think I just got 3 G's just to just give to you when I wasn't supposed to give you nothing? I already paid a couple G's for this knee. I can't jump no higher. Look, check this out. At the end of this, this knee better, like, be able to talk and tell me that I am, like, going to wreck stuff on the court. I better be jumping like Vince Carter was back in the early 2000s. You feel me? So, that's kind of the, that kind of happened a little bit in that conversation. Now I got to call these people again tomorrow. I got to put the corporate voice back on and, like, I don't want to pay these people $2,500, man, because they told me. They made a promise to me. You know what this takes me back? See, this is why black people don't trust doctors and stuff. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to end up dying from a head cold because I ain't going to go to the doctor. You know what I'm saying? This is what happens, yo. I just want to put that out there. Tuskegee, bro. Tuskegee. All over again. Anyway. We're going to woosah. We're going to bring that back. It's all good. It is okay. It is going to work out. Because I'm right. And they made a mistake. Don't know how I got to end up paying for the mistake, but it's going to be all good. And I'm going to talk to them like this the entire time. I'm going to make sure I enunciate. I'm going to, like, try to be charming. Maybe I'll even try to crack a joke, because I am not giving y'all 2.5 racks when it's not my fault, son. Anyway. So, back to my little cousin. My little cousin, Boo, man, lives in Chicago. He's a good kid. He's been raised by my Uncle Skipper. Ah, man, my Uncle Skipper. He is my favorite uncle. He's definitely my favorite uncle. He has been like a father to me, especially since, like, when I started college. Like, he was just always there to, like, talk to. He, like, talked me through college, yo. Every time I call, that dude's like answered the phone or called me right back. And he's just been my tie to, like, Chicago. Like, Chicago is where I was born. It's where I'm originally from. But I grew up here in California. I've been here for the majority of my life. So I tend to call back there a lot. But my Uncle Skipper don't have the best relationship with his kids for the most part, especially his boys. So his oldest son, and I'll get into why a little bit. And so we got a real, it's a real, like, convoluted situation. So I'm going to try to spell these things out for you. But it's about to get real intimate, like, up in this piece, okay? All right? Rock with me, okay? So my dad is, like, a middle child. He got a lot of brothers and sisters. The brothers and sisters that you're going to hear about is my father's older sister, Cookie. Rest in peace. She's one of my favorite people in the world. And his older brother, Skipper. Skipper had a bunch of kids, but I have a special bond with his sons because we kind of grew up like brothers. So, but Skipper wasn't the best pops to his kids. The one thing that's plagued my family, man, since inception, yo, is like drugs. My uncle served in Vietnam. My uncle, when the first comes around, even to this day, my uncle is him and that crack rock is friends, yo. And I went through that stuff, like, with my parents. And I mean, it's not something that really, I mean, it's not really hard for me to talk about. Like I said, my uncle, I look at him like a father, man. I love that dude more than I love most people on this earth. Try and get help, but that's just been something homie been struggling with for a minute. And that led him to make some really bad decisions around his kids. And because of that, his kids aren't really close to him. His kids are, in fact, though, close to my father, because my uncle is a lot older than my father. So his kids weren't that much younger than my dad. So they, like, 15 years younger, things like that. And my dad kind of looked out for them a lot. So one of Skipper's sons, Pierre, he was like a brother to me. Like, I've lived all over this country. I've lived in Chicago. I've lived in Kentucky. I've lived here in California. And everywhere I've lived throughout my life, you know, Pierre was there. When I was in, you know, we lived together and I was in Chicago. When I lived in Kentucky, he like, made his way out there. When we moved to California, he made his way out here. And he just looked out for me. Like, I was the oldest, and I was alone a lot in my life. But that dude, like, really looked out for me. Knew I loved basketball, took me to go play. Like, he just really, like, was there for me, showed me a lot of stuff. Actually, I remember being about 12 or 13. I told you, like, it's going to take a turn. I mean, that's my dude, though. Like, he took me and my best friend, Will, like a brother to me as well. We went to his crib, and, like, he closed the door. He had a nice little spot in the east, in East Oakland, across the street from Ojai. And he, like, closed the door, yo. And it was, like, this cat had, like, a tech with the air hose in it. He had, like, this brother had all types of guns. I remember that. I remember being at that age and me and Will looking at that and just being, like, amazed. I don't know what it was that was amazing about it for us, but we were just, like, amazed. He had a lot of guns. Statute of limitations has passed, and brother don't live here no more, so it's all good. And then he had another, my Uncle Skipper had another son named Alec. Where Pierre left off, Alec took over. Alec is one of my best friends to this day. I look up to him as a big brother. We got into, like, maybe two real arguments, man, and I just out of respect, like, I've never just, I try not to, like, I mean, I've raised my voice, but, you know, there's a limit and a line that I wouldn't cross, that I've never really crossed with him, regardless of how mad I got or how mad he got. And that dude is, like, one of the best fathers I know. Just a great dude. Neither one I'm really fool with my uncle. And so, and then my uncle also has another son who's a lot younger. He's younger than I am. His name is Boo. So because of the way that Pierre and Alec looked out for me, you know, I felt a certain level of responsibility for my little cousin. And what I should have done is I should have, like, well, what I could have done is I could have sent for him to come out here to California, because Chicago is crazy right now. But, you know, my uncle, even with all the issues he got and the situations he was in with, like, his boys, he worked to make sure Boo, like, was never in public school. He was in private school throughout everything. The kid kind of had whatever he needed. But, you know, I mean, my uncle is a very flawed individual. And boys and their fathers tend to have it out at times, and they had it out a lot. And because of that, Boo kind of pushed away from him. He always listened to me for the most part. I mean, I wasn't really there all that much. So my little cousin is, like, 23. He in school. Since my uncle is a Vietnam, like, he went to the Vietnam War, did all his service, you know, he's at 100%, like, disability. My little cousin can go to any school in Illinois and it's paid for. So he was in school. We shipped that bro out to, like, Champaign. That's, like, not near Chicago. It's a nice little drive away, so he can kind of stay out of trouble. But, you know, bro got him, like, a cool little girlfriend who's starting, like, her first year of law school, all that stuff. And so he had a license to carry in the Chi, and, like, we're in Illinois, but you can't have a clip in or whatever, something. And he ended up getting caught, like, with a loaded gun. Not sure why he was carrying a loaded pistol, but it is Chicago. I don't know how much I can blame him on that. Now, let me remind you, good kid in school, right? Less than a month later, he's coming from a party. And it's a lot of trains in Illinois. So he's, like, stuck at, like, this, there's, like, a freight train coming. So, you know, he, like, let his seat back and turned his engine off because it was, like, a 15-minute wait. Homie, like, fell asleep. Well, homie was in a different part of town where people with money live. And they didn't really take too kind to seeing, like, a car that's idle just there with, like, a young black dude, like, sleeping in it. I don't know if I could really blame him. I don't know. So a cop comes and just taps on the window. And instead of my cousin rolling down the window and just dealing with whatever needed to happen, he gets scared and he runs. And yeah, I know. He's like, I thought the same thing. Why did you do that? Well, apparently, I guess he had a little bit of, like, weed on him. I don't know how much weed he had on him. And I know I live in California, where police in California view weed very differently than they do in the Midwest. But that's a different set of laws you just broke there, young man. Like, you gotta, like, all those laws you just broke on that high speed chase and evading cops and all that stuff, man. Like, you gotta absorb that. So in a span of less than 2 months, you got all these charges against you. Now, as a young black man who was actually on his way, like, to upper mobility, like, it's going to be real hard for Lil Homie to get back on track. I mean, but I'm going to do whatever I can to help him. But it's like, damn, like, you think about that, man, and it's, like, so quick. Like, you don't, there's no get back for that. Like, you got these cases coming, they're, like, back to back, right? So what does that mean for, like, the rest of his life, right? What does that mean for the rest of, like, a black man's life? He's 23 years old. And I started thinking about that. And I thought about, like, what does that mean for, like, when I think about my pops, right? So me and my father have never really gotten along either. It's pretty similar to my Uncle Skip and his kids, his boys. But the cousins that I named actually get along really well with my pops. And, you know, I went through a lot with my dad. And I think a lot of people felt like I didn't get along with my pops because of this drug problem. Actually, I got along with my parents great when they was on drugs. We went through that process of getting sober as a family. That wasn't just something that my parents went through. Like, I got dragged to those NA meetings, and they actually had a lot of value to my life. It's a big reason why I do what I do today and how I've built empathy for people and understand how somebody can go from being a doctor one day to on a crack pipe the next. But there were just things that would happen after that and things that, like, that you can't unsee. And, like, I love my pops. It's just that I just don't – the respect that I have for him is just, it's just different. Like, I've never gone to my pops for, like, fatherly advice. It's just never happened. I've never just called him up and just been like, hey, Dad, I need some fatherly advice. I just have never done that. I don't even see that happening. And, like, we get along. I just don't – maybe – and I would probably do that with my uncle just because of how I, like – that's just what our relationship is. So, like, I totally get that. And then, so my pops had another sister. Her name was Cookie. Oh, man, I love this woman, yo. And now that she's gone, you know, I really appreciate what she brought to our family. So she, like, kept our family together, whether we was in, like, she was always having barbecues and parties and making, like, different parts of our family come together and just be around each other, even when they didn't get along. And she was able to unite people in California and Illinois. And she had a son. She only had one kid. His name was Tuffy. And Tuffy was raised with my pops as well. And Tuffy, I mean, early parts of my life, homie helped raise me. And so, you know, he was, like, in and out of jail. He's a spoiled dude. And Tuffy had kids. And me and his sons, like, grew up together as, like, brothers. Like, when I was, like, homeless for a bit, I used to stay with his sons and their aunt. Her name was Auntie. And in North Oakland, but we'll get to my other cousin later. But with Tuffy, you know, Tuffy went down to he was in a clink for a minute. Like, he was just in out of jail. That's just who he was. He just couldn't get right. And so, so my uncle Skipper had called me, and like, there was a time where I lived in San Diego. I had like multiple cars. I had like a bike. And my uncle was getting out of jail, and it was like, yo, like, your uncle gonna need some help. And I'm like, yeah, it's all good. Whatever he needs. Like, I jumped at the opportunity to like help homie. You know what I'm saying? Like I loved his mom, yo. Like, I mean, me and him had always been like real cool. And so, you know, I gave him one of my cars, and like, you know, he took real good care of it. Well, my cousin is a hustler, and it don't matter who you are. And so, you know, from letting him use my cars to, like, him, like, crashing, like, my motorcycle. And if you knew me back then when I had that bike, I loved that bike. And homie, like, crashed my bike. Flashbacks. Having flashbacks. And so, like, he owed me a lot of money for, like, you know, for what happened to my bike. So, you know, a few years prior to him getting out of jail, and this is one of the reasons I was excited for him to get out, is, you know, Cookie got sick. She got an aneurysm. And so he was in jail. And she wasn't with her husband anymore. So I remember being a young social worker, man. I was in my early 20s. And, like, I was at Highland Hospital with her every day. I would, like, get out of work. I would go to Highland Hospital. I would, like, lay in the bed with her, like, at the hospital, we would watch, like, Judge Judy and just talk. I love this woman, yo. And, you know, I was the last person with her before her surgery to remove her aneurysm. And she told me, you know, she was scared. I was there with her while they shaved her head to, because she had, it was an aneurysm in her brain. And I remember them, like, carting her off. And I told her, you know, like, God got you. It's going to be okay. Don't worry about it. She was like, thank you. I love you. I told her I love you too. And, you know, she died on that table. And so, because my cousin, who couldn't get right, was in jail, like, you know, she didn't have nobody there to take care of her, like, funeral proceedings. My uncle is in Chicago. I don't know why my pops wasn't more active in it or not. I'm not sure. But I got seen as, like, the responsible male in our family, like, early on. Remind you, I'm, like, early 20s. I've never, like, I've dealt with death, but I've never dealt with the responsibility of death. Like, so, like, the not being able to grieve because you had to, like, handle business, right? So I just remember her passing and the social worker coming in. And I was a social worker, so I actually, that actually really worked to my advantage. Because I probably got more help than I should have. And having to, like, sort through insurance and having to, like, get all her affairs in order and send things back to Chicago and meet with her husband. And just, it was a lot. It was a whole lot, yo. And, like, I never got a chance to, I didn't get a chance to cry about her passing until her funeral was over. Because I helped plan that, too. And she, and so I buried Tuffy's mom. So, you know, when he got out of jail, that was something that, like, we never really got a chance to talk about. I don't know. I mean, he kind of thanked me for it. But then homie, basically robbed me, man. Like, he had, like, I gave homie access to my house. Like, I was living at the time. I had a roommate, Will, the cat I keep talking about. Like, he went in his room, stole a chain, stole a bunch of valuable stuff. He had, like, my truck. My truck ended up getting stripped. It was just really bad. And, like, he just didn't care. Like, we was a lick, you know? And I know, yes, this is my blood, yo. This is my blood. We have the same, probably the same blood type. And, but that's the type of folks you deal with. And so, you know, everybody in my family kind of knew what happened. And then, like my parents still had, like, contact with homie, you know? And I know my uncle still feels sick to this day because, you know, he feels responsible because he put us in contact. But, you know, I told him, I was like, yo, man, you had no way of knowing that those things was going to happen. I mean, those bills, man, were in excess of $20,000 that had to all be paid back, you know, for various things from my truck to, like, my bike. Like, a lot of that stuff wasn't, like, totally paid off. And it was a lesson learned, man. So maybe, and I think that probably has a lot to do with how I, like, interact with people. The majority of, like, major problems I've had hasn't been with people that I didn't know or cast off the street. It's, like, folks that is family to me, blood to me, probably got my last name where those issues come in. So, you know, sadly, man, Tuffy had a son, and his son and I are actually the same age, and we grew up together in North Oakland, and you know, he followed in those same footsteps. I love him. He was just out of jail for a little bit and went right back. So I say all that to say, like, and to give just this context to, like, the men in my family. And, you know, it's really interesting around figuring out where you fit in the world, right? You know, I got a really good job, and you know, I'm an educated dude. I got, you know, master's degrees, all that good stuff. But, you know, you never, like, I've never been comfortable. Like, I don't fit in those spaces. You know, you get me excited enough. You hear the twang that's in my voice. Like, you know, you hear those things. But I know how to conduct myself the same way I know how to conduct myself, like, you know, like, with cats that's like my cousin. And so you have to, like, if you're in a jungle you have to follow the rules of, like, the jungle. Like, if you're in a boardroom, you have to follow the rules of a boardroom. There's all these different rules. And none of these rules are, like, natural to you at this point. Like, there is nothing, there is no setting that I'm in where things are natural, where it's, like, a natural set of rules where I'm not altering myself in some way, except for right now doing this podcast. I do whatever the hell I want to do, right? And so, you know, I responded to my cousin the way that you respond to people in the jungle, man. And, you know, before you end up getting arrested, another aunt of ours, the one that I said I used to live with, when she passed away, we saw each other at that funeral and all this stuff wasn't resolved. And, you know, the only reason that a lot of other things didn't happen is because it was at my aunt's funeral. Then he got knocked again. He ended up going to jail. I mean, when I say I have, like, it don't bother me what happens to homie. Like, it just doesn't. And, you know, you pray for, like, to have that forgiveness. Like, I'm a Christian, albeit I'm not as good one as I need to be working on that stuff. But it's like, you know, it's like, man, you worry about that. Like, you can't get through these gates without, like, having hate in your heart. So I don't hate homie. I just really don't care about homie. You know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't bother me. But you work on that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can't harbor that stuff and have it. But if I saw, if I saw, like, a whole bunch of people jumping him, like, I would just keep going about my business, is what I'm saying. But, I probably wouldn't do nothing. But the point is, but I like telling these stories because I was talking to my, like, homie about this stuff. And the folks that's listening to this, especially, like, the young men, like, I don't know what makes the relationships with men and, like, black families. And I can't speak to other families. I can't speak to, like, Latino families. I can't speak to, like, Asian, Pacific Islander families. Like, I can't. Like, that's just not what I grew up in, and that's not what I grew up around. Like, I got a lot of friends who have similar, especially the ones that's, like, kind of making it out the hood a little bit. And they got these similar situations where like, people in their family and just how they interact with each other, you know? So I say all that to say, you know, that brings me back to Boo. 23 in Chicago. I mean, Oakland got his issues, but it ain't Chicago. And he had a lot of things going for him. But, like, those things just creep. It's just so many things that's pulling you. It's just so many. And I'm not giving him an excuse. What he did was just dumb, right? But but dumb runs in my family is what I'm saying. Like, and that, like, even with me, I'm not on no holier than thou stuff. I've done a lot of stupid stuff, yo. Like, I have done some really, really dumb things. I've just been blessed for it to not end up with me in jail. Like, for one, I just wasn't built that way. I wasn't built to, like, I was never a hood dude, never a street dude. I'm not looking to fight nobody. I don't like people punching me in the face. I felt it before. It don't feel good. That is not something that I like to run around doing. You know what I mean? But, like, a lot of men in my family, like, they, like, just thrive off of it. And just the history of the men in my family with drugs, whether it's selling drugs, whether it's using drugs, whether it's thinking you selling drugs, but you actually using drugs, you thought you was a drug dealer, but you, like, Pookie. You not Nino, you Pookie, bruh. You just prom queen, prom fiend. That is you, son. Like, like, that's, those are the type of, like those are just some of the situations that one has to overcome. And so when I operate from my day-to-day, like, those things are still a part of me. Like, that crack that was in my system when I was born, you feel me? Like, you know, that stuff is there. Like, those experiences, man, of, like, watching the men that raised me, watching how they got down, you know, that stuff is there. Watching how you handle stuff. Like, I come from a violent family, yo. Like, you handle things violently. There's no enunciation in my family. It's no like we're gonna sit down and talk this out. And so I looked at somebody like Boo, who got all that stuff in his DNA as well. And where I had a Pierre and an Alec and like basketball coaches and like a dope teacher in middle school and like those things, you know what I'm saying? Like I wasn't there in return for him like that. Like I didn't take him the way Alec would take me to go hoop like every week and just be with me and just be talking to me and things like that. Like I didn't do that for him. You know, he probably hollered at me on like the phone every now and then or when I came to Chicago, which I don't do very often. And we would like chop it up. So we'll see, man. I'm gonna do what I can to help homie. But hopefully, I mean, I don't know. If you listening to this, right? And you got that little like brother, that cousin, that friend, whomever, and you doing something different and you know what you come from though. Like you know what's programming you and how you like react to stuff. You know, it like I'm saying, if you got a chance to grab them up and scoop them up, I'm saying you should do that. I'm saying that time could make a big difference. That time could change things. That time could save somebody's life or save them from a lot of grief. Now, I'm confident that, you know, my little cousin gonna get it together. I'm actually trying to hop a plane out to Chicago ASAP, whether it's for Thanksgiving or for Christmas, either one of those. I'm trying to go there and see little homie and talk to him and just be back there and see my uncle. Like, I miss my uncle. I haven't got a chance to see him. I just got a chance to talk to him. And just play the role that God's put, like, on my heart to play in my family. I was talking to my uncle, Skipper, and like I said, man, I love this dude. Like, this dude's like my pops. And we was talking about a drug problem. And I was like, yo, how you think that like, played into certain things and blah, 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 and all that stuff. He was like, man, I'm trying to get better. And, you know, if you're on drugs, they're always trying to get better, right? And he was just like, you know, I asked my son to, like, spend time with me. He told me to get a life. I asked my wife if we can, like, try to rekindle, like, what we had, you know. That's just not something that she wanted to do. Like, just the pain and, like, my uncle's voice around him reaching out to get help. And, like, ain't nobody really fooling with him. Or maybe folks are. Like, that's the story that he's telling me. I want to take that with a grain of salt, right? But just him sharing those things with me. I got to get back to Chicago and kick it with my uncle, man. I got to just spend that time with him, you know. I may not go out there and, like, get to see everybody, man, but I got to get out there and I got to see him. I got to see him, and then I got to drive to Paducah, Kentucky, and go see my grandmother's headstone. Those are the things that got to happen. And so when I said I was going to do this, I was talking to somebody. I was like, yo, why would you, like, talk about that stuff, man? It's like, yo, if that's something that I experienced, man, that's something that somebody else experienced. Like, that's something that's, like, see, we get, like, folks get ashamed of, like, where they come from and who they are, man. Like, all that stuff, everything I just named, I'm capable of doing all that stuff. I'm capable of all of that. All of it. Like, there's a lot of people that rock with me now because it's easy to like me right now. Like, it's easy to be cool with me. It's easy to be friends. Like, oh, you published something on, like, Huffington Post. Or, oh, you got a good job, man. You, like, works with kids. Look at the nice, fine young man he, like, grew up to be. Man, they didn't know that, like, ugly kid with those big-ass glasses and, like, that was wearing them hand-me-downs from Salvation Army. Didn't know. Nobody cared then. Like, nobody was. The prayers from a whole bunch of folks wasn't coming in then. Like, I'm not ashamed of that, man. That's who I am. Like, I'm the dude you see now, but I'm that same kid. Like, I'm that dude, like, I'm trying to do better, man, but yo, I still have check my record with women. It could be better. You know what I mean? Like, there's just certain things that's like in my blood and just did not learn to deal with properly. Check that temper, yo. I may not have went upside somebody's head with a 9, but that temper has been with me for a long time. Like, check my ego. It's there. I don't want your help. I'd rather bleed out than get help from certain people. That ego is there. And if you can't, like, look at yourself and, like, really deal with those things, and, like, it's some of that stuff I'm trying to change. Some of that stuff is going to be real hard to change. Like, that ego thing, I deal with the consequences of my ego daily. I just did something stupid, like, last week, yo. That's, like, had my head hurting. Just, like, oh, how did you end up in that situation? And I'm saying, if I do those things, maybe you do too. Or maybe you don't. And maybe I'm just a screw up that got real lucky. But what I do know and what I do believe is that God does things for a reason. And I think the things that I've endured in my life, I think the mistakes that I've made, I think that me being able to articulate certain things at a high level, me being personable with people, me having folks that actually listen to these and text me every time they hear one or want to have conversations about it or say that that topic touched them. Like, that's things for a reason. So if you're hearing this, I don't think that you're hearing it by accident. Two. I'm not hard to get up with. My Twitter is @ccoleiii. That's @ccoleiii. I will respond. Or hit me on email. @ccole. No. I'm sorry. Even with all the issues. Even with everything that's happened. Everything that's going to happen. Even with all the money they done cost me. Oh, all the money they done cost me. I mean, we ain't even talking about the money I done gave people. We ain't even talking about that. You know. That's the dirty little dark secrets of that family. Like crack is a part of my family. It's just a constant. It has been there. And I thank God every day. I don't thank him every day for this. But I do thank God a lot, like, that my parents got through that, regardless of where our relationship is. Because that's something that a lot of people don't come out of. That's something that a whole lot of folks don't come out of. You know. Whatever folks dealing with in your family, yo. So, you got to really kick it with me today. But I love doing this podcast, yo. Like, I love it. And I can't wait till I come up with what I'm going to talk about next week. If you got questions, if you got follow-up, hit your boy up, man. And I will see to it that we talk about it. But until next time, this has been the Cold World Podcast. I will holler at y'all. I need to go get some rest now because it's late on this Sunday. But I promised y'all that you would have something when you woke up on Monday. So don't tell me I don't love, homie. And y'all keep y'all fingers crossed when I talk to the insurance people tomorrow or the anesthesiologist, whoever I got to talk to. And let's just pray that the articulate, smart, kind-hearted Charles is the person that they get. And not like the manifestation of all these men with all these like other issues. Let's just hope that they get the educated dude. Because it's a big chance that they won't. Because that's a lot of money. And this has already cost, like, the total for all this stuff is, like, $25,000. And I've already paid, like, thousands of, like, oh, my God. It's all good. I'm going to let it go. Wherever you're reading, wherever you're listening to this, I hope you have a blessed day. And do something to bless somebody else. Be an energy converter for somebody else. Peace. Woo! Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, turn the music up, turn the lights down, I'm in my zone. Thank God for granting me this moment of clarity, this moment of honesty. The world will fill my dreams. My heart knock lifetime, my gift and a curse. I gave you volume after volume of my words, so you can feel my truths. I built the dynasty by being one of the realest niggas out. Way beyond the reason I can't feel my shoe. Blueprint beginning to that black album ending. Listen close, you hear what I'm about.
nigga feel my truth. Pop died, didn't cry, didn't know him that well. Between him doing heroin and me doing crack sales, with that in the eggshell, standing at the tabernacle, rather the church, pretending to be hurt, wouldn't work. So a smirk was all on my face, like damn, that man's face is just like my face. So Pop, I forgive you for all the shit that I lived through. It wasn't all your fault, homie, you got caught into the same game I fought, that Uncle Ray lost, my big brothers and so many others I saw. I'm just glad we got to see each other, talk and re-meet each other, save a place in heaven till the next time we meet forever. Thank God for granting me this moment of clarity, this moment of honesty, the world will fill my truth. My hard knock lifetime, a gift and a curse, I gave you volume after volume of my words, so you could